Well, hello there. You are about to enter the mind of the mindset maniac. Your mindset is the most important part of your existence. Don't believe me? You will. With a healthy, adaptive, and expansive mindset, you can achieve anything, and you can learn to use every challenge in your life to benefit you in some way. I am here to teach you all the ways your mindset dictates your current experiences in life and ultimately your future. This podcast will teach you applicable tools and resources that you can start applying today to improve your life. So what are we waiting for? Let's go ahead and jump right in. What is up, my friends? Welcome back to another episode of The Mindset Maniac. I am Leslie Krivar, your host and Mindset Maniac. And today, we are going to be chatting about L-O-V-E, love, baby. We're going to be talking about unconditional love. And we're going to talk about it in two different, focuses. We're going to talk about unconditional love for yourself and what that looks like, why we should do it, and also unconditional love for others and what that looks like and the benefits of doing that. And when I think about unconditional love, the way that I define it is very, very simple. And it is love without conditions. Really straightforward, really simple. So we have love for ourselves, or we have love for others without conditions attached to it. And I believe that this is nearly impossible. It's nearly impossible because we're human. And God is likely the only being that can do this, that can love unconditionally. But that doesn't mean that we can't strive for it. And it doesn't mean that we can't achieve it sometimes. I think that when I say it's nearly impossible, what I mean is it's nearly impossible to achieve all the time with all the people in all the ways. And, I think the closest thing that we can get, the closest way that we can get to unconditional love, at least when I'm thinking about my own experience with it, is in parenting. Now, this doesn't mean this is the experience that all parents have, but this is how I've experienced unconditional love, the closest thing to it. Because, oh my goodness, especially when you have a newborn or your little one is like in a very challenging stage or saying things that you can't believe that they're saying to you or doing things that you just want to like shake them because you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this is happening and I don't know what to do about it. That level of frustration that we can get to as parents when those things are happening. I don't know about you, but I still have love for my child, no matter how frustrated I am. It's like the love doesn't change. It's not like, well, I don't love this person anymore. Things have changed. It's like that underlying love is uncompromised, no matter the behavior. And so I think that I use that example in my own mind a lot. And I actually know some people, I'm not one of them, please do not like hate me for this, but I know people who feel this way towards their pets. And, I love Miles. I love our little dog. But I think that there's probably a threshold, right? That like there's something that he might be able to do enough times to where I'm like, yeah, I'm not about this dog anymore. We've never gotten there. But I know a lot of people who like their animals are their babies and their children and they can do no wrong. Sometimes they tell me stories like, oh, my dog did this and that and this and that. And I'm like, what? And it's not for sale. You didn't rehome him. Oh, I'm joking. But they're like, no, I love this dog with all my heart. And of course, I didn't want to clean this up and do this all day. But oh my gosh, I just love this dog. And I'm like, all right, then, unconditional love. And So let's get into this. Let's really dive into this unconditional love. And like I said, we're going to look at it from two perspectives, unconditional love for yourself and unconditional love for others. And the way that this came up for me was actually in one of my own coaching sessions recently. And, you know, surprise, surprise, anytime that we are working through something, especially things that are really deep rooted, I always say that all roads lead back to I am unworthy, I am unloved, or I am unlovable. That is like to a human like design feature, kind of like where we all get stuck, where all roads lead back to. And it makes sense because it is like innate in us to want to be loved and to want to feel worthy in other people's eyes and especially in our own eyes. So it's not a bad thing and it's not an abnormal thing when we find a thread pulling us back to there. And I'll even go so far as to say everybody goes back there. Everyone has a thread that goes back there. It just depends on how often you get pulled back there, maybe how thick that thread is, how far it goes throughout like your being. Here's how it came up for me. Like in our coaching session, we were talking about something like the last few years, things that I have experienced that I've noticed have made me feel, have made me have thoughts, I should say, that sound like I am broken in this way. And when I think that, like the feeling that comes up for me is that like, I'm gonna put words to it, is like, I don't love myself or not worthy of love or, you know, not worthy yet. And this made sense as we like looked at it. There have been a lot of things that have happened since Watson was born and like kind of incrementally and then and also in a way like things that culminated that made me kind of like start really believing like I'm broken in this way. I'm broken in this way. I can't do this anymore. Things have changed for me this way. And these are all thoughts. These are all things that like I could dispute. But they're also things that became like subconscious like beliefs, like, yeah, this is just a fact. I can't do this anymore, so I'm broken in this way. Or this has changed for me, so I'm not whole in this way. So that's what we were like uncovering and looking at. And, you know, my coach said something to me, which my brain wanted to fight very hard. And what she said was, what if you aren't broken, but you are in fact whole right now? We're not going to change the things that are what they are. We're not going to change the things that you can't do or that you do differently now. But what if all of that staying the same, you are still whole? And like I said, at first my brain really wanted to fight this because it's like, no, if I have to accept that those things stay the same and I'm whole, well, then where does that leave me? That means that like this is it for me, that I'm whole in this way and like these things can't change and these things can't get better or whatever it might be. So my brain really wanted to fight this. Like, no, there's no way that this is whole, right? This feels very broken still and I want to fix this and be whole again. But she doubled down on it and really like held me in this space where it was like, no, what if, let's sit in this, let's explore this. What if you are whole with those things still being true? And I don't know what it was about her asking it or kind of like holding me in that space the second time and like a little bit longer, but my brain started to just like recalibrate a little bit. And it started to, on its own, unwind this idea that I had of wholeness, which is like, you are whole when everything is good and how you want it to be. And I started to get this visual of like a shape in my brain, a shape that maybe doesn't look the way that I want it to look, but it's still like a full shape, right? It's not fractured anywhere. It's not like cracked open. It's not broken. It's still whole, but maybe it's a shape that is formed in a way that like, maybe I want to change. Or maybe I'm hoping grows, or maybe that I'm hoping gets stronger, but it's still whole. And when I had that visual, it was like the biggest light bulb moment for me because I'm like, if that's true, then I can be whole and still want these things to be different and change. But it comes from a different energy now. It's not coming from this energy that I'm broken and I need to fix myself in order to love myself and be whole. It's coming from this energy that it's like, I already am whole. And these things can change and shift and grow and expand or strengthen. It's both. And what that did for me was allow me to shift into that place of self-love, right? Because I think a lot of times we hold our love back from ourselves. It's not unconditional, right? It's like, I will love myself when I am this way or when I stop being this way. And it's much like the way that you treat yourself or the way that you talk to yourself when you're trying to reach any goal. When, like, let's say, for example, lose weight or start a new habit. When we have negative thoughts about ourselves when we're trying to do those things, it's like having a coach who is like literally berating you to get you to do better versus someone who is like loving on you in order to get you to do better. It's just a very different thing. And so for me, like shifting into this place of like, okay, we can have self-love and we can be unconditionally in love with ourselves in order and on the way to improving, that makes all the difference. That's where the process of improving or changing or evolving or growing, that's when it becomes a beautiful process versus like a painful process, and also one where you become like, I believe a worse version of yourself. If you're hating yourself all the way to a goal, whatever it might be, it's going to turn out a lot different than if you're loving yourself fully, unconditionally, all the way to that goal. So that's the first part of this, unconditional love for yourself and how it changes the way that you treat yourself, the way that you look at yourself, and the way that you feel on the way to changing, if that's something that you want to do. And I also believe it ups the odds of changing when we're doing it from this place of love versus something's wrong or I'm broken or I don't love myself until, or I won't love myself until I'm this way or I'm here. The other piece of this is the unconditional love for others. Now, I was going back and forth in my brain about this, like which one of these is harder, unconditional love for yourself or unconditional love for others? And I think a strong case could be made for each side of this, right? It's super easy to be hard on ourselves and to hold that love back from ourselves if we're not a certain way. And also, oh my goodness, do we do that to others too? It's like we find ourselves in this place of like conditional love for even the people that we care about the most, right? Our spouses, our closest friends, people in our life that we, you know, siblings, parents, like people that we genuinely want to feel love for, but we make the love that we maybe show them or have for them conditional on maybe their actions, their behaviors, their character. And it makes sense. It makes sense that we would do this because in our brains, it's like, how could I, if I'm loving someone who has poor behavior or who takes actions that I don't agree with or who has a character that I don't like agree with or has values I don't align with, like by me loving them, isn't that me saying that I agree with them or that I condone what they're doing? And I understand this, and I very much so used to believe this until I started doing this unconditional love work where I started to see it very differently, in that unconditional love for someone else isn't agreeing or condoning what they do. It's simply just having this feeling inside of you always, this love inside of your heart always, because it's what's best for you. And one of the things that really, really solidified this belief that I have about unconditional love came up in a Bible study a few weeks ago. And there is a teaching in John 13, verse 35, and I'm going to paraphrase and just kind of give my interpretation of it. But it talks about how people will know that you are a Christian. They're going to know that you're a Christian based on the way that you love others. And I like the way that these two concepts connect for me personally, because it's like unconditional love for others is not always an easy thing when we don't love their behavior. But if we have it in our heart that that is just the way, like that thing that we have inside of us for other people is the way that we'll like be able to be distinguished, right? But from others, like you will know who I am because of how I treat others and how I love others. That's huge. That's huge in my book. And it also requires us to suspend our ego as well. Because when our love is conditional based on what other people do, and it's like, well, when you treat me this way, like no way I'm treating you that way. It takes a lot of like setting your own pride aside to be like, I don't care how you treat me. I still have love in my heart and will treat you with love. I'm gonna tell you what, way easier said than done. I wrestle with this and I struggle with it. And some days I'm really successful with it. And other days I gotta, you know, pray a little bit harder at the end of the evening about just decisions that I made and actions that I took that don't align with this. But when I do it, I feel free and I feel love. And I think that's an important place to pause, because one of the more important reasons that we can have unconditional love for others, even when we don't agree with their actions or behaviors, but we can have it for them because having love in our heart for someone versus having hatred or judgment or resentment, like love feels better. Love feels good. And so, as I said before, we choose love for one reason, because of what it feels like to us. You know, when we have hatred in our heart or dislike or anger or like, you know, resentment or frustration towards another person, we're literally the only person that can feel that. When you're sitting there stewing about something, or even when you're saying it to someone, like they don't feel your anger or your disdain. They might hear your words and then have some feelings around what you're saying and then feel something unfavorable because of what you're saying to them and how they're interpreting that. But like you're also feeling that. And obviously the opposite side of that is when you have love for them, you feel love inside of you. You feel good. Now, this is not to say that we have to have people in our lives that we just really don't like the actions that they take, or maybe they've treated us very poorly in the past, and that we have to be like, I love you. Everything you do is fine. I want to have love in my heart. But it does mean that there's a way to love them, not like what they've done, but choose to focus on the love and keep them at a distance. I was chatting with a client. This was months ago, but someone who had a very rough upbringing, right? Their mom had done some things that were hurtful to them and very challenging for them still to forgive and to move past. And one of the things that we, you know, worked on with unconditional love was finding things to love about their mom. And even if it was literally as neutral, if you will, as I love my mom because she gave me life. And then just pausing there, right? Recognizing that the brain wants to go, but then she did this, and then she did this, and then she did this, and like literally the 9 million things that she did that were terrible, that has a place to the right-hand side. But on the left-hand side, we have this one thing that she did that we can love her for. I love her because she gave me life. And we get to choose, right? We get to choose what we focus on, because when we focus on the 9 million things that she did that we don't love, We're going to feel the things, frustration, anger, judgment, maybe sadness. And there's a place for those emotions. Again, we get to choose when we might want to feel that way. But when we find that really negatively affecting us, or maybe negatively affecting the relationship, say you want to have a relationship with your mom, even one with lots of boundaries, like it just keeps us from being able to do that because we're stuck. We're stuck with that focus on those things. So it's so important if we want to have unconditional love. Doesn't mean that we unconditionally agree with what they've done, but we have love in us no matter what. Because, using this example, they gave us life. I love you because you gave me life. Not because of the other things that you do. Don't love that. But I do love you for this. That changes things for us. And I think this is a really important concept to explore when you have people in your life that you genuinely want to feel close to. But you can't get over the things that maybe they've done or that they continue to do. And you're just like, oh my gosh, like if you could just be different, things would be better. And I could like be close to you, or we could have a better family dynamic, or we could have a better friendship. Like when we have those people and we have those scenarios, one of the best ways to make that shift is this unconditional love. We're never going to get there if we're focused on wanting them to change, wanting them to be different, having conversations with them that will maybe change their actions. We're never going to get there because people are going to be people. People are going to be, make mistakes. They're going to like do the wrong thing. And our brain will default to focusing on that if we let it. And then we know how we're going to feel. And we know how those feelings, if we're thinking about anger, frustration, all those things, like we know how that will make us act. I cannot show up from a place of love when I'm judging someone. It just doesn't work. So if I want to show up and be close with someone, and I know there's someone in my life that I really care about that I just wish I felt a different way about, I have to find things to love about them and intentionally focus on those things so that I can feel how I want to feel in my own body towards them. And I believe that creates a lot of freedom from the noise and, you know, the extra energy and all the stuff that happens inside of our minds and bodies when we don't feel love towards someone. And one trick, I'll give you a little tip here that works for me, even with strangers. I even tried this with like Hitler. Let's go real extreme here. When we think about how could you love someone who has done the most terrible, unimaginable things, one trick, one tip is to think about them as a newborn baby. All of us are completely worthy of love, and that never changes. This goes back to what I was talking about in the beginning, where like we all have this innate desire and need to want to be loved and to want to feel worthy. We all have that in us because we're human, and nothing can take that away. Of course, we can do things that like are not okay and make choices that are not okay, but those actions don't take away from like our lovability. It's not like every time you make a bad decision, you're less lovable. Oh, you're not here in life yet. Oh, you're not worthy. It's like, no, we all have an equal amount of like lovability and an equal amount of worthiness, and nothing takes away from that. In our society, in our brains, in our culture, like I do believe that it's kind of like we're conditioned to believe that we have to earn love, we have to earn worthiness, and it's just not true. We're just born that way. We're born with the full amount of like lovability and the full amount of worthiness, and it just stays. We just have it. So again, when I'm feeling really challenged by someone and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I don't know how to love this person, I will picture them as a newborn baby, as this sweet, innocent, busted into this world, and we just love them, right? When a newborn baby is like put in our hands or put in our arms, they don't have to do anything to earn love. We're not like, all right, show me what you got. Show me why I should love you. We just love them. They're just worth it. And that, like I said, never changes. So that's where my brain goes. I'm like, you were once a baby. You were lovable. You are still all of these things. Other things have happened along the way that have maybe made you show up this way, but that love ability is still there. So that's where my brain goes. So here's how I want to wrap this up today. I want to say that first, unconditional love for yourself is where, we can do such beautiful work with improving ourselves and maybe not even improving ourselves, like in a way where we have to grow or change what we're doing, but just improving the relationship we have with ourselves and seeing how we change because of like how we're thinking and loving on ourselves in that place. But from the other place of unconditional love for others, I want to say that this is always a choice. You can have unconditional love for anyone because this is a choice that we all have, but it doesn't mean that you have to take it. And I think that's freeing as well. It's like maybe there are certain people in your life, maybe there's a certain person that you just don't feel ready to love unconditionally. But I always like to say it's nice to know the options there. And it's nice to know and maybe even just explore in little ways and in incremental ways what it would do for you, how you might feel different in your own life. You don't have to even tell them that you love them, but how you would feel differently if you shifted the thoughts and feelings you had about them just all by yourself. You could still have boundaries. You never have to talk to them again. You never have to see them again. But you can have some sort of love in your heart for them just because they're a human, just because they were once a baby, just because they were once innocent. And I just totally believe that that changes the way that we experience everyone, the way that we experience our life. When we have love in our hearts, we move through life differently. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. I wanted to offer you this option today of unconditional love for yourself, unconditional love for others, and just to explore how that might change things for you, how that might change things in your relationship, and how that might change things for you in your everyday experience. Okay, my friends, that's all I have for you today. As I say each and every time, let's live a meaningful life, and we will chat so soon. Hey, thanks so much for listening along with me today. I hope you found this episode helpful. And if you could do me a solid, drop me a 5-star rating below and please comment what you liked about this podcast and how it was helpful for you. And if it was, I would love for you to share this with a friend. That is one way that I can continue to grow this podcast, reach more people, and continue to spread the good word. Also, make sure you hit subscribe on your way out so that you never miss an episode with myself, the Mindset Maniac. I'll see you here next time.